think that, sorry, go ahead. I just add the this idea about this mindset, the desire to pursue in this way. This word pursue in this passage is the same word as Paul uses a little earlier in the chapter when he says, here my zeal was persecuting the church. The word persecute is the same word as pursue. It's obviously two different goals in mind, but the intensity of desire, the purpose, well, I guess maybe intensity is a good word. That strength of desire is characterizing both of those activities. The persecution of the church consumed him. He was breathing out slaughters and threatenings. I think actually the text actually says he was breathing it in. It's like what he subsisted on was slaughters and threatenings against the church. And so he's breathing in. He's subsisting on the desire to pursue what he has not yet apprehended. He has the intensity of desire, but we cannot survive on desire, as we've been saying. This part is what we are. When we are attracted to Christ, we increase in that desire. But as was also pointed out, that part of it is our responsibility in the sense that someone else could hold out the attraction. And if we have too much value to these other things, then we're not, and little value to Christ, then that attraction is not going to be there. I would like to also just notice this idea of the power of his resurrection, some more on this, that it is not only the effects of his resurrection, which are very important, but the fact that we should know the power of his resurrection. I'd like to make a connection within Ephesians chapter 1, in that passage where it says, Paul is praying for the believers receiving that letter, and he says, I pray that you would know, one of the things he says is verse 19, Ephesians 1:19, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And then he says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. It's as if to say, the power of his resurrection is the same power that God is bringing to bear on my life so that I will be able to pursue. I will have the divine energy to pursue because my energy is not going to make me capable of pursuing. My energy is going to run out. But divine energy, to know the power of his resurrection, not only the effects of it, which are critically important, but also the power of it, that this is the capacity that God has to raise Christ from the dead. That's precisely the same measure which he is investing in the life of the believer. And Paul says, I pray that you would know that. I pray that you would know that. Here he says in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know this. The verb know is still operative. I want to know these things. To know him, to know the power of his resurrection, not just to understand the effects, but also to know the power that is at work in my individual life, and to know the fellowship of his sufferings. And it's interesting, isn't it, that in Christ's experience, the sufferings were before the resurrection. For us, the resurrection, to know the power of God at work in our lives, must come first. The power according to the ability to raise Christ from the dead, that knowledge, that appreciation must come so that we can have fellowship with his sufferings. It says in another place that by his sufferings, the Apostle Paul was filling up what was left of the sufferings of Christ. I think that's in one of the Corinthians. That there was still, as if to say, the unbelieving world had not made Christ suffer enough, so they're going to make Paul suffer. And that's how it is with us, that we take that, we come alongside the sufferings of Christ. He's not here. The world can't make him suffer anymore, so they're going to make us suffer. And we relish the fact that we can have fellowship with the one who is rejected by this world.
I was going to mention, it appears that the power of his resurrection is a present reality. If we look back at chapter 26 of Acts, it is by the power of resurrection. It's the same power, the purpose that he was called was to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive remission of sin and inheritance, so forth. So that is the power by the power of resurrection that can happen. So it's a present reality. But the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ don't only give me that, but it also, I believe, takes me into the rapture. Because later on in verse, in chapter 3, at the end it says, not that I have a, the power of his resurrection, and if any way I arrive at the resurrection from among the dead. And it seemed that that brings me into the rapture, the resurrection from among the dead. So one is a present reality, but it just doesn't stop there. This knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ brings me into where he will raise me up and I will be with him as well.
But the beauty about Christianity and experience is that there is no fine print. Everything is laid out. That's the beauty about it. There is no deceiving at all. It would have been good to just speak about the knowledge, the excellency of knowledge, as something that's great to have. Or the power of his resurrection. That is, again, something that the world seek after. But the fellowship of his suffering? That's part of it too. And it is not the atoning suffering, because none of us could have part with that at all. I told Peter, you could not follow me, but you will follow me thereof after. Well, after the resurrection. But it's suffering for righteousness' sake, because again now, you're going to be living in a different, in a world that's completely strange to you. Having gone through his knowledge, having gone through the power of his resurrection, now you are on the other side, though you are still here in the world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. So you're living in a strange environment, in a foreign country. People speak different languages around you. You don't understand their custom. You do understand it. You're part of it. But you cannot go along. There is something strange now here about you. Those of us who came from a different country could understand that, right? People speaking different languages, they have different customs, they have different habits, all kind of stuff, and you feel like you're strange. And that's what owes the Christian to be in this world. We get so comfortable and try to culture and accustom ourselves to the surrounding so we could fit in the society. Please don't. Please don't. Remember, you are pilgrim and stranger. Mm. And as a result of that, there is a part of it. So, young Christian, if you think you're going to have it now, you're going to know Christ and you're going to be enjoying Christ and everything will be okay with you, trust me, there is suffering. You're going to be despised at school. You're not going to be the cool kid that everybody wanted to hang around you. You are not going to be the most popular person. Maybe. There might be some because you're taking the right stand for Christ. There is a fellowship of his suffering. But you know what? It is not the suffering. It's the fellowship of his suffering. He's with you. Mm. He's with you. You are going through the fiery furnace. If it's just the suffering of Christ, I would say, well, you know, am I going to be able to endure that? But that word fellowship to me give me the indication that he's with me when I'm walking through that strange and difficult circumstances in this world. He have gone through it before. He knows exactly what to be despised and rejected and misunderstood and talked down to. He understood all of that. He have gone through it, sin apart, so he even knows the severity more than you and I. But that's a fellowship of his suffering, that you are part of it. But now, I don't know, Bunny, and I stand to be corrected, is that he was looking really for the rapture to happen. I think the Apostle Paul wanted to experience going through the articles of death coming up.
That's it.
Because the rapture might indicate the change of my body that I might not see death. In my mind, the highlight of the rapture, that I'm not going to see death. But also those who are sleeping Jesus are going to experience the same thing. But I think here Paul wanted to experience what the Lord have experienced, going through the article of death, and what I should say, sticking his tongue out to death to say, I'm going to come out, just like my Lord have come out. You're not going to take hold of me at all. He wanted to experience that in an experimental way. Of course, the rapture will be the fulfillment of that for those who are sleeping Jesus and those who are still alive. But here, I think Paul desired just to do everything Christ have done. To know him, but in an experiment way. So he would have the fellowship of his suffering. But then he wanted to go into death. just like his Lord have done, and to come out of it, to experience that. And it's, I think, something wonderful. When we think of a person that went to be with the Lord, and we feel, you know, Thessalonians kind of said they miss it. But I think they might have something, I don't want to say more than those of us who are still alive and remain, they're going to experience the fact of the matter that death didn't take a hold of them at all. We're going to experience that death could not touch us. We have gone without even dying. But they're going to experience the power of his resurrection. You know what? That he might attain the resurrection of among the dead. And he didn't stop there. I mean, this man just... The more he knew about Christ, there were more to gain, more yet still. He was pressing on.
Pressing on now is we have pressed on. And we have a short break at this point to be refreshed. Maybe someone will close this session with a word of prayer, and we'll have about a 15-minute break.